He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Go back to Twitter then. Ike, who is at Trip Before C, besides the Lakers being better with LeBron this year, wouldn't they want him there just to usher Luka hopefully into his championship window like Dwayne did with LeBron? I think it's really beneficial to have a second superstar who has been there a little while to show the ropes to the younger superstar at the beginning of that tenure, the second superstar's tenure. First and foremost, LeBron can tell Luka, hey man, this is what this fan base expects. And I'm not saying that is definitely what happened. I'm not saying that is definitely what was talked about. Again, like I've said all summer, all that I've mostly heard about is they've talked about, you know, some strategy stuff, how they could look better together out there next season than they did last. But, you know, Luka watched how much work LeBron puts into his body when he got to LA. And Luka sees how much work LeBron is probably putting in over the course of the summer to look that way again next year. And maybe it's coincidence. Maybe, you know, Luka's team says it was always going to happen. Luka getting into better shape. But maybe, just maybe, he saw, you know, LeBron doing that, and he sees how great LeBron still is at this stage of his career and says, huh, well, you know, maybe I could do that. But it starts with taking yourself more seriously off of the court. So, I think, you know, with LeBron and his conversations with Luka, it probably starts with, dude, it starts with you. And this is what this fan base is going to expect of you. And if you fall short of expectations with this fan base, it can get ugly quickly. And I see this comment here from Omaris, right? Omaris saying, did you see D'Lo shitting on the Lakers? I'm not going to say the second half of that comment, but D'Lo is somebody who fell short of expectations twice with, you know, in two different stints with the Lakers. And, you know, we know how Lakers fans probably feel about him. So, you know, and end of the day, if just for practicality's sake, beyond how good LeBron, I think, will still be at basketball next year, him being able to talk to Luka and walk him through in very explicit terms, this is what this fan base requires of its superstar, of the face of that franchise. And if that at all led to the body transformation we've seen from Luka this summer, if any of his relationship with LeBron led to, in any way whatsoever, the body transformation we've seen from Luka this summer, then that relationship right there has already paid dividends. Dodger Blue at KMamba 11191. ESPN article says the Clippers can sign LeBron outright next summer. Would he do this and leave the Lakers? Any idea if Mark Walter has met with LeBron? I don't see LeBron playing with the Clippers. I just think one thing LeBron, like the one thing you can, well, one of the many things you can say about LeBron, but I think as great as LeBron is as a basketball player, that dude is that good and maybe even more at brand management. And I think he understands that if he leaves the Lakers, especially via free agency, and walks across, well, no longer across the hall, but walks down the freeway there to Inglewood and goes and plays for the Clippers, especially on a contract that the Lakers could have offered him, then that is not the kind of thing that Lakers fans will ever forget. And I've talked about it in the past. Lakers fans have supported Magic Johnson's projects to the tune of Magic being a billionaire. Kobe was a billionaire, or en route to being a billionaire if he wasn't one already. Shaq is close to being a billionaire at this point as well. Lakers fans have really supported Kareem over the years and all of his endeavors too. So, and look at like Steve Garvey with the Dodgers, and look at, any number of these guys, who that Lakers and or Dodgers or crossover fan base there in LA, you do not want to have that fan base hold a grudge on you forever. So LeBron's departure, however it happens, he's going to be very careful about it. And he's going to make sure that the Lakers fan base has no reason whatsoever to feel a certain way about him. And playing for the Clippers on a contract that the Lakers could have offered him, or playing for the Clippers on a contract that would have made it easier for him to win with the Lakers, that's the kind of thing that, you know, Lakers fans will shun that dude forever. And remember, he's trying to buy a team, an NBA team. And in all likelihood, the team that he'll eventually own will probably be there in Vegas. And if he owns a team in Vegas, he will be competing directly with Lakers fans. And if he wants any chance at making it with that Vegas expansion team, or if the New Orleans Pelicans move to the Vegas area, and a team that LeBron owns is competing directly with the Lakers and competing directly with Lakers fans, he won't like how that experience goes. I know how loud the Lakers fan base can get, whether it's in social, whether it's in revenue, all of those things. And I just don't see a world where LeBron plays for the Clippers. You know, I don't see a world where he plays for the Clippers. There are several reasons why he would never play for the Celtics. I don't see him playing for the Warriors, even because of the Lakers Dodgers connection and how much Dodgers fans hate the Bay. I think he's going to be really, really careful about how he leaves, whenever he leaves. And being careful does not involve playing for the Clippers. At Shazaho writes, would you say Aiden is arguably the most offensively talented big Luka has played with? Only player that rivals him, in his opinion, is Porzingis. And even he thinks Aiden is a better pick and roll player, while Porzingis is a better popper. Any thoughts on this? I've seen this take out there, and I can't quite get there right now. In terms of raw talent, yeah, that's fine. But unassumed talent is just unassumed talent. You know, like if Ayton doesn't put in the work consistently enough to be a better player than Kristaps Porzingis, it doesn't matter if he's more talented, right? Like if a player is, or if anybody for that matter in their field is incredibly talented, but doesn't put the work in consistently, or works hard enough consistently to make good on that talent, then that person may as well have not had that talent at all in the first place. You know, I've seen plenty of people in my industry who are more talented than me. I haven't seen very many people who work harder than me, though. And as such, my stuff tends to grow. The people who have the most success here have a modicum of talent. And then also are willing to absolutely work themselves to madness to grow in this industry. Look at how much time Jovan spends in his Q&As, on top of, you know, the writing that he's done over the years. Look at how hard Pete works on the videos, his highly edited videos, when those release, and does a daily podcast, and does stuff that you probably don't even know about. while, you know, all of us tend to our own personal lives and try to balance that, you know, and same goes for, you know, any number of your favorite people in this industry who have found a way to stick around. It takes probably a screw loose, but it takes a ridiculous amount of work and a stupid work ethic to even have a chance at this. And, you know, same goes for any number of industries out there. And the NBA is that and then some, given how much money is on the line. So like Ayton might be in terms of raw talent. Yeah, he might be there with Porzingis, but he also hasn't generated the results that Porzingis has. So, you know, look, I believe in Ayton. I think Ayton's going to have a really good year this year. I say so for cynical reasons, but end of the day, I think the Lakers are going to benefit from having Ayton in their organization and on their team in a year where he is fighting, scratching, clawing, hopefully, to continue making more than the minimum or continue making more than exception type money moving forward. And maybe he's okay making exception type money. $13-ish million a year is pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good living. It's not 30. It's not 40. Luka's next contract after this 3-year extension, he'll be making $80 million a year. You know, he's a singularly talented individual, and even he saw the immediate financial impact of maybe not working the way that the Mavericks thought he should have been these last few years. I think they were stupid to trade him, to be completely honest. But, you know, with Luka, you know, falling further and further out of shape over the course of his career to this point, the Mavericks said, we're concerned that that's going to continue to slip while your paychecks are going to continue to grow. And they didn't feel comfortable with that. So there's a lot of money on the line, and I hope that Ayton makes good on that talent and the Lakers are forced into a tough decision with him. But if I was just to answer the question, is he the most raw talented offensive big that Luka has played with? I would still probably go with Porzingis, but it's close. He's in that realm. You know, he's a first overall pick and I don't think he's a bust. So I could, you know, in terms of his touch around the rim, his mid-range touch, the way that he punishes bigs, the fact that he can get above the rim. He doesn't get as high above the rim anymore as he used to, but he can still get up there. I think he's an incredibly talented player, but unfortunately it's been a lot of wasted talent to this point. So we'll see what next year looks like. At Tailored Score, can you give us a peek behind the curtain of the Clippers handle relations with the media / their propaganda machine? So the Clippers did this thing, and we've seen other teams do this, where the Clippers hired Lee Jenkins. And I forget what his official title is, but the thing with us here in the media is, you know, we do this for long enough and you build these friendships, you build these relationships, and eventually I won't go so far as to say that like we do each other favors per se. There are the occasional favor, right? Hopping on somebody else's podcast, warning somebody about like a take or a report, you know, stuff like, maybe not a report, but maybe a take, right? Helping inform them on that take. My buddy Sharks, Jonathan Sharks, while he was at The Ringer, RIP, man, I miss that dude. But he would call me when he was writing about the Lakers, and we would just talk for like an hour or so. And he would pick my brain about whatever it was he was getting to write. Sometimes he would tell me what he was getting to write, other times he wouldn't. But we would just talk Lakers basketball. And we had a great friendship by the end of it. Again, I really miss that dude. And Lee, I have been in this industry for a fraction of the amount of time that Lee Jenkins was. And I am a fraction as talented as Lee Jenkins was, is. And so I'm not going to go so far as to say that, like, this is why or whatever. This is an example of how they can, you know, kind of have their story told. But Lee has a bunch of friends, and if one of his closer friends in this industry is getting ready to rip the Clippers, maybe that friend will call up Lee and ask, like, hey, what's going on here? Get the Clipper side of the story. And that right there is going to make that analysis that much lighter of the Clippers. And that's not all of Lee's job. And I don't even know how much a percentage of it makes up. His big thing is storytelling, right? And that's why they hired him. And we've seen the Oklahoma City Thunder hire Royce Young. We've seen the Denver Nuggets. They hired a longtime beat reporter there as well. You know, the Lakers with their local TV station, right? They hired Mike Bresnahan, who was a longtime beat reporter with, you know, covered that team. So, you know, these teams see the value in journalism, and they see the value in PR, and the smart ones do. And they try to manipulate that story as best they possibly can. It's really smart. That's one way to do it. Another way, you know, like, look, we just saw it the other day with Daryl Morey, right? Where I made some jokes at his expense based off of the quote as I first read it. We spoke on the phone, and by speaking on the phone, I deleted those tweets and came on here and offered a clarification of what Morey meant with, I don't know if I can call him Daryl. I don't know. Text me, Daryl. Let me know what I should or shouldn't call you on the air. But like with him, that conversation, right? It makes me a little less interested in just skewering him, right? Because we now have a relationship there, right? So that's all part of PR, and that's one of the things that kind of drives me nuts about the Lakers is they always whine after the fact about some of my analysis, whether it's to me directly or indirectly, and I hear about it through the grapevine. They always whine to me about, like, oh, where did he learn this? Well, how did he know this? What is, you know, meanwhile, it's like, you know, Rob and I could just hop on a phone call and we could sort a lot of this out, and it would be like, you would know. I wouldn't give up sources or anything like that. But I would be able to tell a fuller version of the story with more of the Lakers, you know, half of it involved. But so long as they don't really have any interest in, especially like Rob has very little interest in speaking to those of us who covers this team on a day-to-day basis. And as such, it's like, all right, well, I still have to do my job. So I'm going to tell as full a version of a story as I possibly can, but it probably isn't going to be as nice to the Lakers as some of these stories are of the Clippers. Now, as far as, like, you know, some of the analysis there are some, like, there's this weird sector of national media that, like, just refuse to do anything but give the Clippers the benefit of the doubt. And year in, year out, though, that sector of media just always overrates the Clippers. I can't speak to them, you know, like, flawed analysis is just that. It's just flawed analysis. So if you want to just, like, you know, one thing that happens a lot when we're talking about the Clippers or that sector of the media, when they talk about the Clippers, they look at everything just in terms of raw data, and they say, damn, this is a crazy deep roster just based off of what all of these teams or these players have done individually over the years. But basketball isn't baseball. It's not a combination of individual stat lines. It's jazz. And that sector of the media that refuses to consider basketball as jazz and not an orchestra. You know, that's why they continue to overrate the Clippers. And look, it's some of my favorite bits. I love laughing at it. So please continue. At Move RSCE asks, would LeBron go back to Miami? Maybe. I don't know. He seems to love living in LA and he seems to love being close to family. He only has a year or two left. And is Miami any closer to a championship than the Lakers? They're probably closer to getting to, excuse me, an NBA Finals than the Lakers. I would grant you that because the East sucks, but you still got to go through a Milwaukee team that's better put together than you are. You still got to eventually go through, like it wouldn't happen this year. So after this year, Tyrese Halliburton is going to be healthy again. So then you would have to go through Indiana then. You would have to go through the Celtics with a healthy Jason Tatum again and a completely reset and re-solidified draft and asset cash there for a really good front office to work with. So, and then, you know, New York is probably better than Miami, even with LeBron. So, you know, for LeBron, if he's going to leave, it's going to be for a home run, I can win a championship here for sure type situation. Because of all I talked about before as it pertains to his relationship with Lakers fans after he retires. So could he go to Miami? We'll see. Is Pat Riley over the way that LeBron departed? We'll see. Is LeBron over the way that Pat Riley talked about LeBron after he left? We'll see. I'm kind of skeptical over all of that. Gregory Brown writes, do you think the Lakers trade those expirings before the season or at the deadline, or will Rob let them walk? I know he has a track record letting players walk. Slingshot to my head, I would probably say he trades them. I think this team is going to be good. I think it'll be plenty good for the Lakers to really think long and hard about adding to this roster. Now, will Rob use that first round pick? That's, I think, a more pertinent question that I am less convinced about, but I do believe he'll use those expirings and he'll use those expirings for players that he thinks will actually help this season. Whether that player will also be on an expiring contract, I don't know, but I would be pretty surprised if Rob finished this season and just let Gabe Vincent walk and just let Maxi Kleber walk. There's no real benefit to them doing so, especially given that I do believe in this roster. So if this roster is as good as I think it is, and he lets those guys walk, then, you know, I'll have some analysis that the Lakers probably won't like, but won't have any say about because they don't like talking to young idiots like myself, even though I'm not young anymore. All right, let's go through here. Let's see. Anthony called Daryl, but there wasn't a ring. Let's see. No, technically, Daryl called me. Technically, Maury called me. He asked for my number, and I gave it to him, and he called me. So he had to wait for 17 rings to talk. all right, that is going to do it here for, on that terrible joke, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast, super mega post vacation mailbag. Thank you everybody for the questions. I answered all of the questions from Twitter. I didn't see any actual questions, just mostly kind of yeah, Let's see. Yeah, I didn't see any actual questions here from the live audience. So mostly just comments that I responded to over the course of the show. But that is going to do it, though. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you, everybody, for subscribing. And if you haven't, please change that. Thank you, everybody, for hitting the like button. If you haven't, please change that. And until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Okay, right at the end. R. Jones with that, with the welcome back, Anthony. Thank you very much. Means I get to play this. Fuck watching! And on that note, I will peace out. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you tomorrow. How are you doing, everybody?